It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with France. So we're continuing with France. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
I don't know if that last boom was actually boom on the recording or if it was thunder.
Thunder. Might have been thunder.
I'm looking outside. It was pouring down rain earlier.
Lightning really? And we haven't gotten any here. Yeah.
Really?
No, none at all.
Were you on Mars?
What? A lot of noise. A lot of dark clouds, but no rain here.
We'll send some your way. I hear it's in Pinellas County, and it's heading north. So
it's heading north. We should be getting some.
Yeah, and it's been pretty heavy.
For all you people out there listening, saying, aren't you in the same studio? No, Mike is in Wesley Chapel, which is north of Tampa, and I am in Newport Richey, which is north of St. Petersburg. So look on your maps, and you can see where we are. So we're a little ways away from each other, and that's why he gets different weather. Actually, in Florida, if he was across the street, he could be getting different weather. So you don't have to be across town.
Often to get better weather, I do go across the street.
So. Yeah, really. That's what works in Florida.
Sometimes you're like, oh, my God, they're here again, you know, looking for the weather. So, sometimes it works out that way. But
It really does. Yeah. But we are different parts of the same county, but we're both a little ways away from each other, and so therefore we get quite a bit of different weather at times there. So.
Yeah. Just like our listeners are all over the place. Our listeners are located just anywhere in the world, and that's why sometimes we say, you know, if you're listening to us in New York, hopefully the hurricane's not affecting you, blah, 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 and we go through that. Because we do have people from all over listening to us. And more people listened to our show last week than...
because we had a glitch. Yeah.
Yes. If we have audio problems, it never fails. It's a popular show. People just tune in.
Pick
it's
up
like,
people.
I've got to hear these people get stuck. You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy there. A lot of people tune in, so therefore the glitch happens. Yeah.
Like the mentality I had this morning, there was a bad accident on Interstate 75 southbound, and I saw everybody stopped on the interstate, and I go, you know what, I'm just going to have to get on the interstate and see what, you know, just like this, you know, when we have a show like that, people just have to tune in, and we appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate that, and thank you for listening to the good shows. Yeah. Either way, but it all comes out. We are finishing up New York to this evening, and next week we will be moving on with, I wrote Novato. Wait a minute. How do you spell? I'll figure it out.
Nevada.
Alphabetically from New York.
We're going to Nevada. Don't figure it out, people. Just follow us. That's all. Just stay with us there.
Sometimes, you know, just don't look it up. It's trust us. Nevada does come after New York. So
Nevada is next.
Yes, we have proof of that. So in case you see anybody writing
something
in.
Else too. And in the opening,
you mentioned if somebody wants to call in, you can call in. You can also, yes. If you don't want to call in, if you get long distance charges, you can email us do any number of things to get in touch with us. IM anything like that, and we can call you. So if you want to do that, you can IM us and leave us a phone number, and we will get in touch with you, and you can get on the air. So
we don't mind calling. We'll even call you after the show. Who cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
But, we're easy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's one of those things. Must be the weather. But isn't today the last full day of summer or something? Or,
it is, as a matter of fact. Good point.
Wow.
Good point. Yeah, we officially go into autumn or fall, whatever you want to call it.
Tomorrow. Well, in Florida, it's basically an extended summer.
That's
so.
We get our either 1 or 2 days of autumn. And then we get our 2 or 3 days of winter, and then we get a couple of days of true spring, and then right back to the same thing again.
That's so. Right. We're back to warm weather. But
we're not complaining, people. We're
not complaining at all. There will be people on the beach tomorrow while the rest of the country is bundling up in their coats and freezing and whatever up in the north. So
it's not 60 degrees yet, so we don't have to get out of our parkas. So.
That's right. we are, I guess we'll go ahead and there are no guests for tonight. I think I originally put we will be welcoming special guests, and initially, that was maybe I should have saved that until the end, because now they're going, what, no guests? But this is going to be interesting.
Everybody's leaving.
So,
Mike and I were talking for the program. Last week, I contacted by email like 38 wineries in the Finger Lakes area, invited them on the program to talk and all that stuff, and tried to call a couple and all that, couldn't get really hold of anyone. No one responded. We had no guests. Last week, we had a good program. Week before last, no guests. This week, I sent out 26, 27 emails. To northeastern New York and an area up around, north of Hudson River Valley and east of the Finger Lakes up in the corner there. 26 emails. Got a response from one, Mary from Amazing Grace, and she said, here's my number. Get a hold of me. I'd love to be on your program. I've tried to get a hold of Mary, and for some reason I'm not connecting. No blame or anything. It just, we're not touching bases on that for some reason. So, it's odd, though, that we think, Mike and I both say, well, maybe it's harvest season and people are spending time in harvesting and they just don't have the time to grab the phone and come out, because it's a crunch time for wineries. I understand. And so it's tough.
Yeah, but
not getting response for some reason. So.
Oh, response from what?
From the wineries.
Oh, yeah.
Not getting a response from the winery. So, you got to listen to us, our banter.
Yes.
Not really.
So, that's the show tonight. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks. The next hour is available for advertisers.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to talk to you about some of the wineries up there. There's some information I'm going to pass on to you. I've went to some of the websites, looked at some of the areas. There's some interesting things. I did a lot of research in that northeast area there. We're ending up New York tonight, though. We're going to bid farewell to New York and wine production in New York. Interesting. I don't know. If you joined us through all the programs in New York, thank you, and we appreciate that. But I really, really have learned a lot about New York and the wine industry. It has really been fascinating. There's been Long Island and a lot of stuff that goes on in Long Island. One of the things that sticks out to me is the netting of all their grapes this time of year, because they're in the migratory bird path. And because of that, they have to throw nets over the grapes, or else the birds would come down and strip their vines. And they keep them on there. One winery told us they keep them on during harvest because the birds are constantly flying through in that area. Hudson River Valley, a fascinating historical place there. I was amazed about the history that goes there, not just the grapes, and also the vineyards around there, how they go up from the valley and the Hudson River and all that. It's just, it's fascinating. I have people come into the winery down here all the time, and quite a few New Yorkers combined. One of the things I've been telling the New Yorkers lately, the visitors from New York that have came in, that the Lake Erie area, the Lake Erie AVA, which runs south of Buffalo, is a great area for grapes, but it's very cold there because of the weather off of Lake Erie. Lake Erie does pump a lot of cold weather onto the area, and so they have to watch their grapes and have to be careful with the temperatures there. 60 miles northeast of there, off of Lake Ontario, and it's like a completely different climate. That area never gets below freezing. It seldom do they hit zero. The guest we had on said seldom do they get below zero, and most of the time it's in the teens or 20s for lows throughout the winter. And in the summer they don't hit 100. Seldom do they have the temperatures climb up as high as 100. So I tell the guests that come into the winery about that, and most of them never realized that their state had that type of diversity in the upper parts of the state and the different areas there that with the weather and the influence of Lake Erie and Lake Ontario. Lake Ontario never freezes, and so that's one of the main reasons why it does that. Then Finger Lakes. Finger Lakes is a big area. I'm glad to hear the ones we've been talking to and the different people we've been talking to. I'm glad to hear Finger Lakes area is now doing a lot of Riesling grapes. I've always said that everywhere in this world, there is an identity to almost every wine growing region. You can mention region, Australia, you usually think of Syrah and those type of reds. New Zealand is identified with Sauvignon Blanc. You go to, France, obviously, your classic reds, Germany, whites, just about everywhere in the world. You can name a region, you can name a country, you can name an area, and you have an identity, except for New York. New York's always had the distinction of just somebody says wine in New York, and people immediately think of Finger Lakes or Long Island, and those are the two areas that come to mind. Not a grape so much as an area, and it's great to hear what they're doing in New York, how they're coming out stronger with the red wines in places like Long Island and the Hudson River Valley, how they are really making strides in Finger Lakes, trying to promote the Riesling grape and trying to make some world-class Rieslings, not just one of dozens that they're able to grow. And they do grow quite a few in that area, not just one of a dozen, but one that they can actually identify with, one that they can actually say, you know, this is a New York Riesling, and people go, oh, as opposed to, oh, yeah, okay, one of many that you have. So it's great to hear that New York is promoting some more of that. We've talked to Cornell University during our visit here in New York, and had a great conversation with a representative from Cornell. We just last week had on a guest that had written a book. This is the first time we've had someone on the show that was an author, and he had written a book. I'm drawing a blank there, Mike. I know you're in the holding area, but if you're hearing me, I can't find my note here. Name?
Yeah, that was Evan Dawson, Summer in a Glass.
Yes, Evan Dawson, Summer in a Glass. See, about yes. Finger Lakes area. My notes are all spread out, and I can't find that particular one. But great program. First time we've had an author on, and it was really interesting. Very knowledgeable. I mean, Evan was really quite knowledgeable on wines. Had a very nice conversation with him. And it was really, really a lot of fun, and really a lot of interesting information. And so this week we are going to travel up to the northeastern part of New York. Northeastern part of the state, and visit some wineries up there. We don't have any guests, but you're going to have to listen to me tell you about them. Another thing while we're up there, too, one of the things I did, and I know we covered this a little bit, I don't know how long ago it was. It was a number of months, not just weeks, but a number of months ago. We were talking about some of the wines that are made in the University of Minnesota, the ones that are that they've done up there, that they've worked on up there, the cold hardy grapes from the University of Minnesota. Excuse me. And the type of grapes that they're making up there and what they're doing with them. I want to revisit that for a little bit too. Since we've been in New York, we've talked a lot of wine. We've talked to a lot of wineries that are using University of Minnesota grapes along with Cornell out of University of Minnesota. One of the sites, one of the wineries is Hide in Pines Vineyard. Hide in Pines Vineyard. Their website is hipvineyard.com. But Hide in Pines Vineyard is located in the northeastern part of New York. It is and I don't know what this lake is. There's a big lake that runs on the border of New York and Vermont, and I don't have, I guess I'm not close enough to have a name hooked onto it here. Let me see. Cumberland Bay. Is that part of the Great Lakes system? Lake Champlain? Oh, okay. It's Lake Champlain. Oh, that's the lake that runs through there. So Lake Champlain is the dividing lake between New Hampshire, or I'm sorry, Vermont and New York. And Lake Champlain runs on down and into exits out of into the Atlantic Ocean there. But up east of Lake Champlain, or west, I'm sorry, up west of Lake Champlain, and just south or a little bit east of or west of a little town called Pittsburgh in New York, northeastern New York, is the winery Hide in Pines Vineyard. And Hide in Pines Vineyard has a interesting website. Not only do they make wines, but they also grow a whole bunch of stuff there. They have a open season is from open for the season right now from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. and they do tastings every weekend. But what they do is they have wines. They have numerous different wines. St. Pippin, one, Leon Melot, I think, M-I-L-L-O-T. I don't know if the T is silent or not. But Leon Melot. And La Crosse Northern Whites, W-I-G-H-T-S. Very nice label for that. And a Chardonnay, a Niagara, and what they call a Riley Brook Red. Those are their wines. But not only do they have wines, but they also offer and make different, they grow trees and they grapes and stuff like that. The grape varieties that they grow, and I'm going to go through this with you here simply because it's interesting and it's, and we've done a lot of talking to different wineries in the northeastern part of the country, not just New York, but northeastern part of the country, and a lot of them brought up these names and stuff of these different grapes. And so, this is the Hide in the Pines Vineyard has a nice listing of these, and what they are, both red and white grapes, and what they call the table grapes. And so, they have pictures of them on their website. So, if you like to check that out, you can check out the pictures of them. But the white grapes, Brianna, B-R-I-A-N-N-A, Brianna, it states a very vigorous variety with good disease resistance. It's a slightly upright in growth habit. Produces a very fruity white wine with pineapple, apricot, and peach in the nose. This Swenson selection is from Nebraska to New England, but in limited qualities at the moment. Selected by Elmer Swenson. I'm sure if I read the complete website, I'd tell you who Elmer Swenson is, but I don't know. Chardonnel, C-H-A-R-D-O-N-E-L. The cross of a Sauvignon and Chardonnay. You've heard a lot of people speak of it. It is a cross of a Sauvignon and Chardonnay. It produces an excellent wine when mature fruit is used. Again, mature fruit being the key to it here. Got to wait until the thing is completely ripe. And in that part of the country, sometimes it can get dangerous with early frosts or early freezes. Good locations with large growing seasons are required to ripen the fruit. This variety is better, a bit tender for our location up in where they are, but makes an excellent wine, so we opted to continue growing this. It says some years there may be some drawback and suspension decrease in yield, but they feel it's worth the risk. The La Crescent, this is a white wine, also hardy to minus 36 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, when you speak of a wine being hardy to that temperature, what you're basically saying is the root system. The plants itself go dormant, but you have to keep those roots alive. If the roots freeze and you start freezing the structure of the root, then it will kill the plant. So cold temperature, cold resistance or cold hardy grapes, you're really talking about what happens in the roots and that part of it. Also in the plants themselves, you don't want to have the plants themselves get so cold that it breaks down the structure of the branches and the plant itself on the top of the ground. This particular one, the La Crescent, L-A-C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T, La Crescent, is hardy to 36 degrees. Requires a careful spray program to control black rot and downy mildew, probably result of tight cluster of grapes. Moderate vigor, sugar can develop to 22 to 27 Brix, but with high acid. That's pretty high Brix on this. Wine can be excellent in a semi-sweet or dessert style, similar to a good Vignot or Riesling, with apricot, citrus and honey in the nose and flavor. Ripens mid-season. This is a University of Minnesota hybrid here, the La Crescent. The La Crosse, also another University of Minnesota plant, I believe. This is also a white wine. This is hardy to minus 25 degrees. The vigor and disease resistance are moderate. Sugar content 19 to 21 Brix. It's good varietal wines have been made in a dry and semi-dry style and are clean, fruity, and good acidity, similar to the Sauvignon, one of its parents. Citrus, apple, pear, and melon have been noted in the nose. Also does well with lightly oaked or barrel fermented, when lightly oaked or barrel fermented. This is one of the leading white wine varieties in some upper Midwestern states and does very well in the moderate sites of the Northeast. Ripens late season. So this is, you know, again, cold hardy grape that is used a lot up in that area. And we've talked about that. We've talked to a lot of wineries that have talked about the La Crosse and La Crescent as their part of their grapes. The Petite Ami, or Ami, I'm not sure how this is pronounced. I apologize. It's P-E-T-I-T-E-A-M-I-E. I don't know if it's Ami or Ami. Where the accent is. This is a white wine grape with muscat flavors and a nice floral nose. Nice size clusters, slow vigor with good winter hardiness. This was bred by a David McGregor. And St. Pippin, we've heard of this a lot too. St. Pippin is a white wine, a sister seedling of the La Crosse, but hardier to around minus 26 degrees. The La Crosse, again, to minus 25, but this is stronger here. This variety is epistolate, meaning that it has only female flowers and must be planted near other varieties to ensure proper fruit set, which is unusual because a lot of wine grapes tend to be, you know, both female and male. They don't need pollination. It should be pruned to a high bud count to make sure there is adequate fruit production. Some berries are formed on medium loose clusters, ripens mid-season to about 20 Brix and a 1.0 total acidity. Two rows of St. Pippin next to one another, one row of another variety like Frontenac Gris, La Crosse, or others will do well. Excellent wines have been made from St. Pippin as a varietal and also in a blend. When well ripened, fruit quality is similar to Riesling. suitable for ice wine production. And we have talked to others who have done ice wines with the St. Pippin. We've talked to a couple of wineries that have mentioned the St. Pippin as the ice wine varietal. It is it's a white wine, but the grapes themselves, and if you tune in the website, you'll see the grapes. The grapes themselves are a purplish color, purple type grapes. Red grapes, again, we've talked about a lot of these in this area. Frontenac, this bears a full crop after minus 35 degrees Fahrenheit, so very cold hardy. This is a very vigorous vine with a fair resistance to powdery mildew and is immune to downy mildew. Yay. That's a good thing. Arching and growth. Wine quality can be very good. Garnet in color with an intense cherry, plum, and sometimes chocolate aroma. These are subtle. Always got to remind you, whenever you hear about description and stuff, they're subtle. Sometimes they jump out at you. Sometimes they don't, but most of the time, whenever you speak of this stuff, cherry, plums, chocolate, these things are subtle. You look for them. A lot of times you can find them. If you don't, that's okay. Ripens late in the season with a 25 Brix or higher. That's a really, 25 Brix is really pretty high for these grapes. Requires ample heat to reduce its typically high acid. Frontenac has proven itself very versatile in the winery. Besides medium-bodied reds, commercially produced rosés, and some blended with Frontenac Gris for more complexity, with some residual sugar to balance the acid, has become very popular. It is also being made into award-winning port wine, most widely planted wine grape in Minnesota. It is a University of Minnesota hybrid here. The Leon, again, Merlot or Merlot, I think it's Merlot, L-E-O-N-M-I-L-L-O-T. This is a sister seeding of the Fourche, hardy to 15 to 20 degrees, minus 15 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Ripens earlier than the Fourche to good sugar and acid balance. Very nice body and fully ripened fruit. Large grapes, too. These are rather large grapes I can see here. Excellent wines have been made in several different styles, from light blends to full body dry reds. Blends with higher acid variety as well. So the Leon Merlot, again, I'm not sure how that's pronounced. The Marquette, cold hardiness near the Frontenac. Again, Frontenac to minus 35. The Marquette is a grandson of Pinot Noir. This selection sets a new standard in cold hardy wine grapes. Very good disease resistance to downy and powdery mildew and black rot. Upright growth habits, suitable to vertical shoot position training, but also performs successfully on top wire cordon training. These are, you train grapevines on it. I don't know if we've ever done a show on trellises and grapevines and stuff like that or not. I don't remember if we have any time or not. I don't think so. We haven't? Okay. My engineer here just informed me we haven't. So that might be something we address sometime about grapevines and how they're trained and the wiring systems and how you put together a vineyard. Keep it simple, but let you know how it's done and what's done. It's rather interesting, actually. The St. Croix, S-T-C-R-O-I-X, St. Croix. This is hardy to minus 32 degrees Fahrenheit or better. Good resistance to powdery mildew and black rot, susceptible to downy mildew. A very reliable grape in the Northeast and Midwest. I don't recall a lot of people talking about the St. Croix in the Midwest. Many excellent wines have been made from St. Croix. Vinifera-like with good fruit and low tannin. Wine characteristics include a strong berry nose with lesser notes of cedar, tobacco, and spice. An excellent lower acid and lower sugar blending agent for some high sugar varieties like the Marquette and Frontenac. Achieves 18 to 20 Brix with moderate acidity. That's good. Ripens mid-season. Also makes a suitable seeded table grape. So that, you know, with the 18 to 20 bricks, most people like their table grapes a little bit sweeter. And then table grapes, Canadas, C-A-N-A-D-I-C-E, Canadas, more winter hardy than most seedless grapes, produces medium clusters with small sweet red berries similar to those of a Delaware. The Marquis, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, Marquis. The Kansas is a purple grape, a light reddish purple grape. The Marquis is a white grape, or green grape, if you will. Vigorous white seedless grape from the Geneva Breeding Program. Named in 1996, this high flavor grape produces 3 to 5 grams spherical berries on large shouldered clusters. Something like what you find in the grocery store. Excellent table grape. Also produces pleasant, delicate white wine. Patented by the Cornell Breeding Program. And then the Mars is a vigorous blue seedless grape. And this is a very dark blue color. Almost black, if you will. Clusters are medium sized and well filled. Hardiness has been good at Geneva, New York. And the wines are resistant to several major diseases. Vines may bear fruit precociously, and production should be controlled on young vines to prevent delays in establishment. And then I'm going to take a quick drink of wine here because I'm getting dry.
That always helps.
That's good. I have a Cabernet tonight from Chile. Oh. That I'm drinking, so.
Uh-huh.
Very nice, too, actually. Reliance is the last one, R-E-L-I-A-N-C-E, Reliance. This produces large clusters of round, red, medium-sized berries. The skins are tender and the flesh is melting in texture with a sweet flavor. Coloring may be poor in some years, but cold hardiness is among the highest of the seedless varieties. And this is out of Arkansas, Ontario, University of Arkansas, Ontario. So those are a little description of some of the grapes that we've been talking about in New York, actually in the northern part of the country. And just an interesting bit of information about those grapes and what they, where they're from, what they do, and the colors and stuff. The High Press, let me see, I had, here it is. Hyde Press, our Hyde and Pines Vineyard, also does research. They do a lot of research in the vineyard themselves and do a lot of work with University of Minnesota and with Cornell. They have everything's available to see. You can go in. I noticed on the website here somewhere it said that they're more than willing to have people come out and they can show them the stuff and work with them and everything if they people want to do it. They're trying to improve the wine grape quality through setting up the proper growing system, the proper training system for the grapes, and getting it to produce the maximum yield without having without causing any problems to the grapes or anything. So Hyde Pines is really been where it's located in the northeastern part of the state there, has really been trying to do what they can to continue making and producing grapes for the cold weather and cold climate and cold areas up there. I'm trying to find something here. If I can run across it, I will. Lake Champlain. There you go. Lake Champlain is the one that runs down there. They're on their website, on the website for Hyde and Pines Vineyard. There's also a form. That is a discussion forum for, well, that was thunder out there. I just heard here. So I guess you did send it over to me, huh?
Yeah.
we can use that. Yeah. When I that was curious. I had a question about that. When in Florida do we ever say boy, we can't use this rain. I wish it wouldn't be here. Because every time it rains, we always say, wow, we can use it. It'll fill up the aquifer.
Right.
You know, it's something we always tend to say. The Lake Champlain Grape Growers Association is for the wineries around Lake Champlain, both on the east and west side of the lake. It is a nice forum here for discussion, and a lot of information on it. So if you're looking for information on that part, or if you want to get into a forum discussion or something, there is a couple of very nice discussion groups, discussion forums on their website. Great varieties for cold climate, general vineyard information, the site selections, weather in the vineyard, different things like this, and all sorts of interesting stuff here. So a nice site for Hide in the Pines Vineyard. It's not so much about their vines and their grapes so much as it is about just, I think, research and all the stuff that they have available and all the stuff that they're trying to promote. And they have pruning workshops and just, you know, working with cold hardy grapes and all that. I was really quite impressed with this this winery and this website. I say winery, it's a lot more than that. They have trees available and stuff also. They, in fact, I can't find it right now, but they had a prices on trees if you wanted to purchase trees and everything there. So if anyone's living up in that part of the state, I think it might be worth a drive to the northeastern corner right by Lake Champlain and visit Hide in Pines Vineyard. Another one that I want to talk about here is Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace is the one that did respond to us. Mary from Amazing Grace was kind enough to respond and said she's going to be on. And they had summer hours. And on the website I saw that the summer hours have ended, but it doesn't give any indication what the winter hours are. So I don't know what that is, but I guess that's Mary and her husband. That's on the opening page of the homepage there. But they have quite a few different wines too. I was surprised at the variety that they're growing up there. Amazing Grace Vineyard is located just south of Canada and just east. Or just west of Vermont. I keep saying east. I'm getting my directions wrong. Just west of Vermont. They're right up there in the corner, right close to Lake Champlain. I am sure, without a doubt, that Lake Champlain is influencing the vineyards up in that area. Lakes has such an influence on the areas there, and Lake Champlain is actually larger than some of the Finger Lakes. So I'm sure that there is quite a bit of influence of the weather up there, but still it's so cold. I don't know if Lake Champlain freezes every year or not. I don't have that data here, but I'm sure it moderates the temperature quite a bit. Lake our Amazing Grace Vineyard, they have a Catawba, a Diamond wine, Edelweiss. That's something that we didn't talk about either, because Edelweiss is a cold weather plant. Frontenac Gris, the Cape Gray, whatever that is, La Crescent, La Crosse, Niagara, Saval Black, Vidal Blanc, and those being the white wines. In the reds, they have the here we go, red table wine, they call it, the AGV, Concord, made in red. Corette Noir, C-O-R-O-T, Corette Noir. I'm really sad we couldn't get Mary on, because I was looking at these and I was hoping that she'd be able to answer the questions. They have another Frontenac in the red wine, a GR7, whatever that is, Legon Melot, or Milot, whatever, M-I-L-L-O-T, and that's one I'm not sure about pronunciation. And Legon, L-E-G-O-N, that could be a proprietary name. Marquette, Norette, St. Croix, and those are the reds. And they also have some dessert wines, or actually fruit wines. And their fruit wines consist of an apple, a peach, a strawberry, and what they call a winter's blue. Too bad Mary couldn't get on with me because I had a lot of questions about those wines. I was looking at their site, and every time I called her, I said, please call me. I got questions about your wine. So, but, you know, obviously she's busy. So, Amazing Grace, it is, for wineries, it is the furthest in the northeastern corner of New York, furthest one north. This is, again, it's located way up in the corner at, the address is 9839 Route 9 in Chazy, C-H-A-Z-Y, Chazy, New York. So it's the far northeastern corner of the state. A Coyote Moon, another winery that I was looking into that I found extremely interesting. Coyote Moon is located in Clayton, New York, 17371 East Line Road in Clayton, New York. And Clayton, New York is over off of 81, right next to, again, right next to Canada at the northeastern tip of Lake Ontario. They are open 7 days a week, 10 to 6, and Sundays 11 to 5. But they are on right by Alexander Bay and right on up on the river area there, right after the Lake Ontario has quit becoming Lake Ontario so much and started to become more of the rivers and stuff that feed out of there. And that's where Champagne, or that's where Coyote Moon is located. Coyote Moon has 158 medals on their opening page. The Coyote Moon Vineyards.com is their website, and 150 medals on their opening page and counting, they say. So they're quite proud of that. The wines at Coyote Moon are wine, it says. I'm sorry, River Run, Twisted Sister, Neck of Chardonnay. Wait a minute, they had a whole bunch of them here that I was looking at earlier. Here we go. No, Wine Club, okay, so. Well, there we go, red wine. All right, here we go. Okay, this is what I was looking at. They have a Merlot that they make, and it doesn't say if it's from there or not. It just says it's Coyote. Their description, Merlot and chocolate, better than sex. It listed as a dry red wine. Frontenac, a dry red wine. Top of the line, dry red wines, they're saying. Cabernet Sauvignon, again, it doesn't say if it's from New York or where. If they do have the moderate climate of Lake Ontario influencing them, they very possibly could be growing it there. It is a possibility. Cabernet Sauvignon, again, it's listed. And they have a little chart by each one of these wines, a little line with dry, semi-dry, semi-sweet, and sweet listed on there. And the little arrow shows you the wine and where it falls in that. And all of the reds seem to be dry. They have a Marquette, which is a dry wine, slightly oaked. Dry red wine. Pinot Noir, again, I don't know if it comes from New York or any of that area or what it is. They have Pinot Noir. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Pinot Noir could be from that area. They're very proud of this, voluptuous and charming. They have a what they call an Italian-style red wine called the Casa Papa Red. It's just slightly drier than a semi-dry in their description. The Twisted Sister is made from the Frontenac, and it's just like right in the middle they're showing as far as sweetness goes. The River Run, semi-sweet red, it says if you're a white Zin fan, you'll love this smooth body wine. It may be a blush style or white Zin style. And then Fire Boat Red, sweet. They're just shy of being a very sweet wine on their chart here. Those are their reds. Their whites tend to go a little bit sweeter, faster. They have a Chardonnay, Reserve Chardonnay, aged in oak. They have what they call a naked Chardonnay, which is no oak, stainless steel all the way. Both of those are dry. Island Mama doesn't say what grape that is, just a white wine, again, dry. The Le Crescent, we just talked about that, right in the middle. Not dry, not sweet, just sort of exact in the middle. Brianna, that's another grape we just discussed a little bit ago. Just a tad bit below the semi-sweet style. River Thyme, again, between the semi-sweet and sweet. A little bit more of a sweet type white wine on that. It's always difficult to understand the ratings, though, because everyone's tastes do run differently. So,
and I did, then,
yes.
Oh, I did find out on Coyote Moon Vineyards that they are the largest in northern New York with over 15 acres of vines dedicated to the grapes. They grow and maintain 4 acres of Frontenac, 3 acres of Frontenac Blanc, 2 acres of Frontenac Gris, 2 acres of Le Crescent, and another 4 of Marquette.
Oh, so they're all cold hardy.
Okay.
All cold hardy grapes up there. So they must ship in these Merlots and Cabs and Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays and all that. They must get them. But there's enough grapes around the state of New York that they can get just about anything they want there. So they probably stay in New York as much as they can. Yeah. So, and then their last one, their last fruit wine is a Cherry Bomb, which is a sweet wine, more than likely cherry. But yeah, that's good, Mike. I didn't see that on there. So they more than likely get their grapes from other areas around the state. A lot of them do that. A lot of them try to stay in New York. It's funny because the northeastern New York is just about the only area in the state that isn't a designated AVA. It just seems like they're all over the state of New York, and then Finger Lakes and Long Island and Lake Ontario, unless this area actually is classified as Lake Ontario, which I don't think so, but it could be. But a lot of this northeastern New York, and it gets very cold in this area too, so it would be a lot different type growing area and growing seasons and stuff. It would seem like it would be a shorter growing season simply because of the cold weather there. And then the last one I'm going to hit quickly here is Swedish Hill Winery. Swedish Hill Winery has a couple of locations. This one is in Romulus, New York, and this is located in Romulus, New York. Whoa, this is right in the middle of the Finger Lakes area. I must want the other one then. I'm looking at the wrong one here. Let me back up and look at the other one here. They got one right in the middle of the Finger Lakes area. This is the one I want. This is in Lake Placid, New York, located on Highway 73 East on Lake Placid. They have, like I say, two locations, one in Finger Lakes and one in Lake Placid. It's the website for Swedish Hill is Swedish Hill, SWEDISHHILL, SwedishHill.com. And Swedish Hill is the one at Lake Placid is a beautiful place. They've got some pictures on the websites of it, and they have a donkey named Doobie, and they got wines named after it. They got Doobie Blues, and they got Jackass Red, both named after their donkey. The winery itself is just a beautiful place. This location is just an absolutely beautiful place. Looks like it's rather new. But it says that it was built in 1986. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary at this location this year, so it's not that new. They started out with an initial production of 1,200 cases in 1985, and now they're over 70,000 cases. So really quite a large winery. Now in business for three generations. They passed it on within the family, and they've won a couple of Governor's Cups, which is the highest award you can get in New York State for wineries, something that we've had a couple other wineries tell us about that something to be very proud of. They do a lot of grapes, though, a lot of stuff there. I was going down through their list, and it just absolutely amazed me, all the different things. They do a white grape juice. It's 100% juice, not from a concentrate. It's $4.25 a bottle. And it's just Swedish Hill Vineyard white grape juice, 10 bottles a case. So if you're a fan of white grape juice from that area, great place to get it. They also do a Concord grape juice. It's Concord grape juice. If you've never had it, it's like drinking green grapes that you pick off the vine that you buy at the grocery store. It's absolutely delicious. That's $5.25 a bottle. They do a Delaware. The 2010 Delaware. They have a reserve Chardonnay that they have available. Blue Waters Chardonnay. They note on their site. Think of it as a Pinot Grigio style of Chardonnay. They have another Blue Water Chardonnay that comes in a 1.5 liter bottle. They've sold out of that. A Viking white, crisp, dry white, made with mostly, similar to the Pinot Grigio and crisper than the Chardonnay. It doesn't say what the grape is, though, on their site here. Available in Sweden. Huh. They also have a Viking, I see what they do. They have the Viking white in a 750 milliliter, and then they have a Viking white in a 1.5 milliliter bottle, so. It's available in both sizes. They have a dry Riesling, 2009 dry Riesling. Classic Riesling grape constantly makes outstanding wine grapes in the Finger Lakes region of New York with elegant floral aromas and clean, crisp finish. This drier style of Riesling is versatile with most foods. So again, a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a brag on the Riesling there. A Vidal Blanc, a semi-dry Vidal Blanc with nose of peach and citrusy. A Cayuga White. This is, again, from the Finger Lakes area, developed by the great developed by Cornell University. Very, very popular up in that area. The Cayuga White has, and I'm not passing judgment on it, it is a great wine, but it has that foxy finish that you find in a lot of American grapes, a lot of the muscadine grapes, a lot of the Native American type grapes, rotundifolias and stuff. So, very popular. Cayuga wines are very popular. 2009 Riesling they have listed again here. Blue Waters Riesling, almost like a muscat-like aromas and flavors on this. So made in a sweeter style. What they call a Svenska White. S-V-E-N-S-K-A, Svenska White, doesn't say what grape, but that also comes in 1.5. A Niagara Frost, it says it's very aromatic, reminds you of cool fall mornings in that area, which they will start getting tomorrow. Just Peachy, which is tree-ripened peaches made into a wine. A 2007 Vigneault Late Harvest, harvested at 33.2 bricks and finished with 12% residual sugar. That's a lot of sugar, people. If you like a sweet wine, that's it. They say that the peach and pineapple aromas and flavors go on and on. I'm sure it is a classic, quote, ice wine style. And then the Doobie Blues and the both sizes, that's their mule, their donkey, rather, their miniature donkey. They have Svenska White that is available with personalized labels in cases of 24. If you have an event, you want to have a shower, wedding, or something, they can do that for you. They have Blush Wine in both sizes, Catawba Frost, which is made with a Catawba grape, Marechal Foch, Cabernet Franc, Optimus, which is a Cabernet Merlot and Cabernet Franc blend, a Viking Red, which is a hybrid, it doesn't say what it's from, vinifera, a Doobie's Jackass Red, which is, again, doesn't say what it is, a light fruity red, both sizes on that, a Svenska Red, again, both sizes, a Country Concord, semi-sweet, two sizes, a Radical Raspberry, Glog Wine, it has a recipe, add one bottle of Glog, 1/2 cup raisins, 1/4 cup maraschino cherries, 1/4 cup slivered almonds, 1 sliced orange, heat it, do not boil, in a crock pot, and then keep it warm over low heat, and then serve it warm. Sounds interesting. A Cynthia Marie Port, which they don't say what the grape is. Sparkling wines, they do a Brut made in the classic French tradition. It's a blend of the Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir 50-50. A natural sparkling wine, again, Chardonnay and Vignole. A Blanc de Blanc, which is made with the Cahuilla grapes. A Riesling Cuvée, which is a sparkling made with Riesling. Spumante Blush, which is a sparkling blush wine. And they also have distilled products. They have a grape brandy, a raspberry infusion, which is a brandy style, and a Blanc de Franc, a white Cabernet Franc, and they end up with an anniversary Vignole, 25th anniversary, which they're celebrating this year. Just an interesting bunch of wines that they make out of that. But when you're making, you know, so many thousands of cases a year, you can start playing around and making, you know, when you're 70,000 cases, it can give you an opportunity to make a lot. So we bid farewell to New York. It's been fun. It's been a great ride. And we move out of New York and we go to, thank you, bus people. Not many bus people. It's rather wet.
Yeah, it is.
We go to Nevada next week. We travel across the country and go to Nevada. So we need to jump on our plane and head over there.
That'll be a good trip.
Yes.
Get away from this cold weather, this 90-degree weather that we're having. That'll be September 29th. Sorry, 9/29. So September 29th. Yeah, 9/29. Right? 9? Yeah.
9/29? 22nd?
Yeah, September 29th.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday, yeah. So, yeah, that'll be next Thursday, 7 p.m. So we'll do that. And so we're done with New York. Wow.
We're done with New York.
And,
took us a while.
You know, if we get in touch with some of these people later on, because, you know, understanding that they are busy, you know, they can always come on the show again. And, you know, we'll you know, never know.
Never know.
We understand. And I know for sure that Ron understands how busy they get.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I sympathize with some of these people that have a lot to do. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, that's cool. And speaking of a lot to do, you have, let's see if I rolled into this correctly, you have the Wine Fest coming up this Saturday. That's on the 24th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And let me go ahead and run this real quick. We'll be back in a minute and 15.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Boom. There was that lightning thunder again.
That lightning, but it actually really is thunder tonight. Yeah.
I've seen a few flashes thunder. I don't know if it's the paparazzi outside. You know, hey, it's that wine show again. Or
could be. I never thought of that. That's true.
Every time you see that, smile because you want to look good when they post it on one of the tabloids. But and this weekend the weather is kind of questionable. But you know, if it looks like it's gonna crap rain or something, just go up there anyway because there's always indoors, and you have a neat gift shop and everything up there, and do a wine tasting because you did that last time. I think everyone maybe the vendors kind of bugged out, but you still had the company inside the place, so there's always something there, and you're gonna be open, so definitely cool. Go in there, relax, enjoy it, and sample some of their world-class wine. So at the Florida Estates Winery, and I don't know if I mentioned that on the ad there, but you're located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 at exit 285. That's State Road 52. You'll go west 4 miles, and you'll see the signs to Florida Estates Winery. You go north just a short little distance, and you'll see the winery there. Or 21 miles east of US 19 on State Road 52, and you'll see the signs again, and just go north a little ways from there. 996-2113 with area code 813 is the phone number to call, or visit them on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. You can subscribe to their newsletter that usually comes out if there's a major event, maybe twice a month, once every 2 weeks or so, and you'll get this newsletter. There's more information in there, just more than just on the Wine Fest or anything. They also tell you about the upcoming wine class. The next one looks like October 16th. They also let you know about the tip jar that they have there at the winery and what they're doing with that. And there's also a recipe, and each week it's a different, or each newsletter it's a different recipe with a ingredients and directions and how to make it and everything. And then there's also wine facts down at the bottom, and interesting information there. So there's a quite a good read on that, and subscribe. You're not going to get spam or anything, and it's a great read every couple of weeks. So check that out. Subscribe to them, and you'll also get information on connecting with them on Facebook and just everything else. So really, really cool. So connect with them at www.floridaestateswines.com. And if you want to contact us here at the show, you want to contact Ron, ask a question about something we can present on a future show, you have a comment, a show ID or something, email the show at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's 101@gmail.com. allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And we'll present your question, your comments, if you want it. You know, if it's something that we can do on the air, we'll do that. We'd love to hear from you, and let us know that you're listening. So Ron checks that out, and I don't know if he does it like every 10 seconds, like I do my accounts, but
not quite. But quite a few times a day.
Yes. So anyway, I guess do we have anything? Anything else for this Thursday, the 22nd? I don't see.
Nothing I can think of. I think we pretty well covered it. Bye, New York. Hello, Nevada. We'll be heading out west, and tune in next week.
Bring a lot of quarters for the slot machines, and we'll be right there.
That's right.
Or dollars, coins, whatever. Well, thank you all for listening this week, and glad you joined us. And if you're listening to us on the archives, thank you as well. And we'd love to hear from you again. If you could send an email to allaboutwine101@gmail.com, love to hear from you, and let us know that you're listening. And if you like the show, you want to hear something else about wine, let us know.
Yep. Always happy to hear from anybody out there.
Yep, and we'll see you all next Thursday, the 29th of September at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. You all have a great week.
Have a good week. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. See ya.
And thank you, Mike.